Oh, Tierra, you are speaking my language. Actually, what you just said is the entire purpose of my YouTube channel. So if you're
Yay!
interested, you
Oh,
should check it out.
yes.
I'd love to have you over there. But that is exactly what my mission is to basically teach about how the brain is the bridge between our divinity and our humanity. And the brain allows us to create our own realities in a way that seems magical. But it makes sense in a lot of ways, but a lot of ways there's still things that are unexplained. But that's the fun of it. And that's why I love connecting these two worlds. So yes, we can definitely talk about all of everything you just mentioned.
Yes, I'm excited.
Hey, I'm Dr. Kate Wong.
And I'm Tierra Mitchell.
And
you are listening to
the Holistic Hope Podcast. We invite you to join us
and our village
in conversations rooted in wellness and health so that we may grow a community of generational healing through love.
Whether this is the time for you to sum up what's been going on this year, or it's the time for you to set an intention to finally attract the reality that you really want. If it's one or both, this is the episode for you as we invite our special guest, Dr. Naza. She reminds us that we are just one decision away from a completely different life. Not only do we dive into the topics about what intention truly can be, we also get into the science of how to make neurology work for you by identifying these things that block or strengthen it all. Can't wait as she lays out how simple it can be to manifest or attract the reality that you want now, despite what seems to be in the way.
So, hello, Dr. Naza. Thank you so much for being on with us. Can you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hello. It's such a joy to be here with both of you today. I love your podcast. I'm such a fan. So it was such an honor when you invited me to come speak with you. My name is Dr. Naza Nalani. I have a PhD in cognitive neuroscience, a master's in behavioral neuroscience, and I am also passionate and obsessed with manifestation and the law of attraction. So my goal and purpose is to teach about how the brain is our bridge between our divinity and our humanity, and teach people practical steps so we can start to implement different tools that will allow us to reach the goals and dreams we have, as well as help us figure out what might be blocking us or stopping us from getting there. Because sometimes we know what we want and how to get there, but we're just not getting there and we can't figure out why. So all of that is my passion to teach about and share on my YouTube channel and my Instagram and through my program, Intentional Dreamers.
Awesome. That's kind of how I found you. I think I found you through the YouTube. I found you through YouTube.
The YouTube.
I know. And so you just had such a bright energy about you, Dr. Naza. Is Naza, which one do you prefer me to call you?
Thank you. Oh, Naza is fine.
Naza, okay. And so I just like loved, so I wanted to talk to you a little bit more. And so we got time to talk for a few of regards to the brain, the nerdiness about all of that. And then I introduced you to, you know, our podcast to help people understand. A lot of times people think brains and all these different things so complicated. But the thing is, we make it complicated and then we talk about it in an airy-fairy kind of way to where no one really understands in the PubMed research and all the different sense. But the thing is, like I mentioned, knowledge is not really power unless you put action behind it. And so so Tierra was really interested in talking about the law of attraction and all these different parts
Sorry.
Of us as well. Technical difficulties as we end towards the end of the year 2020 here. But but if you want to kind of brief us about, actually, what do you want to start with first, Tierra?
Well, I think it would be great if you could tell us a little bit about your journey to, I don't even know. I was just say your journey uncovering all of this is how I'll sum it up so that there's open doors. Because I would really like for listeners to hear, I'm imagining there's going to be a beautiful story behind this. And most times when we find law of attraction and manifestation and we start to really enjoy it, there were struggles we had way before. And then there's that aha moment of, all I had to do was say I wanted something and believe it was mine. And so I want to hear your story.
For sure. I would love to share that with you. So rewinding back, my story starts on a crisp fall morning when I was in grad school. It was the very first day of my neuroanatomy lab where I actually got to hold a real human brain in my hands. And it was just such a pivotal, life-changing moment for me because I just realized how simple it was. It was just this really soft piece of flesh. It was so weird. I don't know if either of you have ever held a brain, but it's so soft. I felt like I had to be so gentle because it was just going to disintegrate. And I just from that moment was obsessed with understanding the brain, how it works, why it works. And my main motivation for that was my own need to fix, quote unquote, my own brain, because I had been suffering from severe anxiety, severe depression, and panic disorder for many years. And I was at a point where I was having up to 5 panic attacks per day. I'm not sure if anyone listening right now has ever had a panic attack before. If you have, my heart is with you. I know how difficult they are. And they can take up to 90 minutes to even 3 hours sometimes to, you know, process and then recover from. You can imagine 5 in a day. That's all I was doing every single day. And I just knew I had to fix that. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go get my PhD in cognitive neuroscience. I'm going to learn about the brain, understand everything there is to know about how this darn thing works. And then I'm going to use that to heal myself and teach others how to heal themselves as well. Well, fast forward 10 years later of studying, and I realized science knows a lot about the brain, but not everything. There's still pieces missing. And actually, I just read something really fascinating that different fields of science, some of them, including physics, quantum physics, the amount of information that we know is doubling every 8 years. So what we know today about how the universe works is twice as much as what we knew 8 years ago. I mean, think about that. That's so amazing how much we still don't know. And so I, out of curiosity, began reading this 100-year-old book called The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace D. Wattles. And that book, Adira, you're nodding. Have you read that book?
It's such, in photography, you have to, I'm a portrait photographer. And as artists, a lot of them struggle with selling their work. So that's like the book most creative coaches will tell you to read.
I love it. And it's over 100 years old, but its ideas still apply today. So I read that book and I just became so interested in this idea of using our intention. Really, that's what it's about, the power of our intention to attract a reality that we want. And so I went down this rabbit hole about learning about law of attraction, manifestation, and I realized how much overlap there is actually between neuroscience, the brain, and this field, which often is kind of seen as woo-woo or magical, but really so many of the concepts overlap. And now that's what I'm passionate about teaching, is combining these two realms and sharing information about how we can apply that to enhance and increase the quality of our lives.
Isn't it so interesting how when we think that everything, when we go to school, we think academia, all these different things is the answer. And then you realize when you get out of it, you know, this other part isn't quite all complete, isn't quite all kind of encompassing. That's why I kind of searched for more to see what else is there. Because when I was like you mentioned, right, when you're in school, you think, you know, the science of this, you know, how the neurotransmitters, all these different things, this is how it works. You know, that's it. There's nothing more. But in reality, it's the feeling. It's the moment. It's the, we're all that together and more that makes up how everything is and how everything's different from each other. And so I just find that fascinating as well.
I was going to say, and I think that's an excellent place to start this conversation now. Let's talk about why, and seriously, why intention is so powerful. Me being like low-key obsessed with manifestation and LOA and neuroscience, like it's a new obsession of mine. And I can't get over how it's just in church, you learn what's called basic Bible principles, right? And that's the part that fascinates me, is my whole life I thought that Christianity was the magic because it was like this super special religion, because I grew up in church and like that's where my heart is and everything. But then when I started studying law of attraction and manifestation, I was like, huh, these basic Bible principles work because they're operating on other basic scientific principles and things like that. And like, yeah, it lost its magicness, but that's side note why I feel like the religion is such a sacred part of it now, because it's teaching you how to encompass these things. So with all that being said, I really want to dive into why intention is so powerful.
Well, intention is, it really is the key, because we, if you think about it, we are among the one of the few species on the entire planet, maybe in the entire universe, we don't know for sure, but on the planet for sure, who has free will. We mm-hmm. have the ability to choose, and we have the ability to then reflect on our choices and choose differently next time. That, I mean, that doesn't exist in almost any other creature that is alive right now.
Right. Have you heard the quote? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you.
Go ahead. Please.
I'm so excited. Have you heard the quote that said, you know, as humans, we get obsessed with how powerful our bodies are. But really, when I'm going to have to research and probably hit you up somewhere else to let you know who says this, because it's in one of my trainings and it was like a thrown in there kind of thing. But he was saying how as humans, we're really obsessed with the strength in our body. But really, our bodies aren't that amazing. You know, like our bodies can't do anything that other animals can't do. And then there's a lot of animals that can do things with their bodies a lot better than humans can. Like probably the only thing that's most fascinating about us is our thumbs. Seriously. And where the power comes from is our brain. That out of all the things, out of speed, strength, the ability to work together and stuff, what really sets us apart on Earth is the ability to use our minds.
Yes, exactly. I love that. But what is really interesting is that we actually have really special bodies as well. We have brain cells, of course, in our brain. But speaking of intention, which connects to intuition, we also have brain cells in two other regions of our body. Brain cells, neurons. Can you guess which parts of our bodies, if you had to guess?
I'm thinking the stomach is one of them, the gut.
Yes, yes, the gut. The gut has its own set of neurons, brain cells. Can you guess the other part?
Heart?
Yes. Yes. The brain, the heart, and the gut
just
all have brain cells. And these brain cells communicate with each other and are connected in a very special way. So 100%, our brains make us very special and unique creatures on this planet. But at the same time, our bodies are very important in that connection as well. If we were just floating brains in a jar, we would not be who we are. We would not be able to interact with the world in the way that we do and create the realities that we do. So the holistic approach to manifestation and to our connection to our intention and intuition is also really important.
That's awesome. Can you elaborate a little bit more? Because I knew about the brain gut aspect of it, but where does the heart come into play? Like what specifically for those nerdy ones?
I love this topic. So have you ever heard of the Heart Math Institute?
Yes, I just heard about it actually. So
the Heart Math Institute is doing this really fascinating, groundbreaking research where they're showing and teaching people how to achieve what's called heart coherence or brain-heart coherence. Mm-hmm. And basically what this means is you both probably know this, but for any listeners, the brain cells work off of two functions, chemical messages between each of the cells to communicate, but also electrical impulses. Your brain creates so much electricity that if I were somehow, I won't, but if I were to drill a hole in your head and plug a light bulb in, your brain's electricity would light up the light bulb because it's creating so much energy and power. So those electrical impulses we also see in the neurons, in the brain cells within the heart. And there's up to 40,000 of these neurons inside of the heart. And brain-heart coherence means to get these electrical signals in coherence or on the same wave pattern between the brain and the heart. And the research Oh, it's just mind-blowing when you see the effects it has on our health and our well-being when we have this kind of intuitive connection and this coherence between the brain and the heart. They have found things like reduction in depression, reduction in anxiety, healing from diseases, so many things. And that's why I love what both of you do and the mission you're on, because you are actually creating this heart-brain coherence in people through your message. And we can actually create this coherence just with our intention as well, just by choosing that we want to.
I love that. So just to add on real quick before going to intention, what I was researching about imprinting for like babies and all these different things is that someone mentioned that it's about 3 to 6 feet of that coherence from the heart, that if the baby and the mom, the baby and the mom's connected. And so when the baby feels a certain way, the baby actually kind of have that almost like a radar, you know, if the mom's within that 3 to 6 feet distance, if they feel postpartum, if they feel love, they feel joy, all these different things, it does affect from that distance, which is crazy. Because a lot of times people think, oh, this woo-woo thing doesn't matter, right? But then it's like...
No, I'm sure there's a whole lot of moms who are probably nodding their heads so hard because it's the craziest phenomenon. Do you have kids, Dr. Nessa?
No, not yet.
One day.
I'm manifesting.
I'm telling you, it blows my mind how I can be feeling something and my youngest will more so act on how I'm feeling. So like her attitude and her mood will change kind of thing. My youngest will come up to me and ask me about what I'm feeling and I don't have to say anything. So I'm pretty sure right now, like you just had a whole lot of moms be like, oh, that's a thing. I thought my kids were just like freakily being able to figure out what was going on.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you have very intuitive children, which is a testament to what you are demonstrating to them and teaching them. And that's so beautiful. And yeah, it's so true. Actually, when we look at the energy of the body, every single body and every single body part actually has its own electromagnetic field. And the human electromagnetic field, if you stretch your arms out side to side, is about as far as your arms stretch. For some, it's a little smaller. For some, it's a little bit larger. But within this bubble, some call it the aura, okay, you can definitely sense and feel other people's energy. And some of us are in tuned with picking that up and some of us are not. But two types of creatures are really naturally good at this. One is children and the other is pets, dogs, cats. Mm-hmm. They can really sense the energy inside of your energy field and how you are. So if you're saying one thing, but your energy is saying something else, they will pick it up in an instant and call you on it.
Yeah. So I'm really curious to know what hinders that. Like you just said, it sounds like your kids are real intuitive, which is a testament. And I guess for me, it's hard to take credit for it because I don't know. I don't want to brag about it kind of thing, but I think it's just in the way I teach my kids about life. You know, it's real like emotional intelligence for me kind of thing. But then when I'm working with other kids, especially in photography, I noticed how people don't respond to their kids the same way I respond to their kids and it makes me think of when I was younger and things I went through in my childhood to where because Kate knows this, my whole intuition level thing was very intentional. It was me getting tired of feeling blocked off from those gifts that I had. And in doing it, I started learning that there were a lot of traumas and things I went through in my youth that probably caused me to shut it down. So as far as this brain-heart coherence and keeping those connections bridged, what are the things people can look out for, like look back to rewrite their story on, change their intentions and feelings behind that can maybe blockening the connection?
Yes. So there can be a lot going on, but before I touch on that, I first want to say, Tiara, I will brag for you. You are clearly doing an amazing job. I've never met your children. I would be very lucky to one day, but it just sounds like they have this intuition and they're trusting their own gut feelings. And that is such an important gift to give any child, because they're going to grow up to be adults who trust themselves. And in terms of blockages, that is one of the biggest blockages that I see in my profession working with people, is this lack of connection with our intuition, this lack of coherence, heart-brain coherence, but that results in not really having that voice within that we can hear. The voice within is always there, and that's the really beautiful thing. It's really strong from the second we're born. It's always guiding us, telling us what to do next, what feels good, what doesn't feel good. But we so quickly learn to close our ears, to block it out, to not listen to our intuition for many reasons. Society, what we learn in school, what we learn from even parents, right? What is one of the main things we learn? Trust your elders, listen to your elders, listen to the authority figures. Oh, this doesn't feel good for you? Too bad. I told you to do it, so go ahead and do it. You know, so it's this pattern that begins to develop within ourselves, and we start to look for the answers outside instead of inside. And that's what I see over and over again in inside of my Intentional Dreamers program, as well as my YouTube channel, in the comments of people saying, Dr. Naza, I am in this situation, what do I do? And my answer is always the same 100% of the time. I say, you already know what to do. You just have to find that voice within. So how do you do that? I have a lot of techniques, and I'm happy to share some of them with you if you're interested.
Before we talk about the techniques, I want to hear them. I'm gonna make a note right now. But I do want to get back to the intention part of it, because I do know, and please correct me because I want to make sure I know correctly, I do know that why our intention is so powerful goes back to how you were saying about the electricity around our brain. And that, I want to say, it's in quantum physics, we learn how observing an atom causes the reaction, right? Is that correct? Is that how you say it? And so I'm just going to say how I know it. I'm not a doctor. That's why Kate and I like doing the podcast together. I'm just a mom. I'm just a mom who wants the best for my family. And so I just try to educate myself. And what I understand is that because our brain is so powerful with all this electricity, and the way quantum physics is set up, and the way that like attracts like, because other atoms and things will pull, they'll energetically pull closer. That's why our intention is so strong. So manifesting, for example, one of the lessons I learned the hard way was being careful what you say you're manifesting. So a lot of people will say, I want to manifest money. And okay, and one of the quick tips around manifesting is know why you want to manifest it. And so the reason behind the why is often so I can pay this bill, you know, or so I can have money for XYZ. And what I learned was there's a subtle trick there, is that you're now kind of putting the intention that you lack money, because now you need this money. You're hoping to get this money so that you'll be able to pay this thing you're trying to pay. But the intention you're holding is, money does not flow to me, so I struggle with money. And that was really hard for me to learn, because that was even what you're taught in prayer. Pray for what you want, but what is it that you're really asking for? Mm-hmm. So with that said, can you kind of dig deeper into why we have to be very mindful of the intentions, and how we can be mindful of the intentions we're setting and agreeing with?
Yes, 100%. And it's so interesting that you just shared that story, because I just had a manifesting money masterclass yesterday that I taught. And in that masterclass, a whole section of it was about the language we use when we're creating our manifestation statements, and how we need to take out words like I am trying or I want. We should never use those words when we're manifesting, because if we say, I want $100,000, for example, what this is saying to ourselves and to the universe is, I don't yet have it. And so it creates this energy of lack. So instead, what we want to do a simple language change and say, I am manifesting, or if you don't like that term, that's okay. You could say, I am bringing in $100,000. And just that small change, what it does now is it puts you in the energy space of, I don't have it yet, but I am in the forward movement towards it. Not, I'm here and it's there and there's this gap. That's what we want to avoid when it comes to creating the manifestation statements and any goals that we're setting for ourselves. So in terms of the way that the brain works, there's actually a very specific region called the reticular activating system. We'll call it the RAS for short. And the RAS is really, really powerful in scanning the environment and allowing us to pick up information that is important. So in any moment, we are bringing in over 11 billion pieces of information right now. The sound waves coming into your ears, the light particles that your eyes are seeing, your clothes touching your skin, everything, your brain is processing all of that. And it's overwhelming. We can't focus on all of it because we would just be crazy. We would be a mess. We would never be able to focus on anything or get anything done. So our brain has very cleverly divided itself into having all of that information processed on an unconscious level, meaning we're not aware of it. And there's a small percentage of our brain dedicated to reacting to, perceiving, and interacting with the world on a conscious level. And that's our free will. Have you ever heard the statement that we only use 10% of our brain? So that is actually completely false. And it's been a huge myth. And I've even seen it in movies. Have you ever seen the movie Lucy, you know, with Scarlett Johansson? And the idea is she takes this drug by accident and it basically unlocks the other 90% of her brain. So it's false. We use 100% of our brain 100% of the time, even when we're sleeping. But we only have access to use about 2 to 10% of it on purpose, conscious. So that conscious part, okay, so the unconscious part, sometimes also called the subconscious, processes up to 11 billion pieces of information. If you had to guess, how many pieces of information do you think the conscious mind is able to process in any moment? I'll give you a hint, it's under 100.
Really? Oh, because I was going to say 1,000.
1,000 is a good guess. 40. 40.
Oh, wow.
That's it. 40 pieces of information can we focus on with our conscious mind? And that is our intention. So the reticular activating system is what allows us to scan the environment and decide, okay, you go into the unconscious part. We don't care enough about you. But these things are really important. So I am going to focus on these things. And that's how I'm going to be able to basically interact with my world. And even things like booking a podcast, for example, I really, really, really wanted to book some podcasts and just meet some wonderful people and connect like I am with you today. And so I set the intention. I am manifesting an interview on a podcast. The very next day I'm on Facebook, and you know, on the side where it suggests groups for you, there was a group that said, be a guest on a podcast. That was the name of the group. Now, because I had just set this intention, my brain was already primed and ready, and my RAS was scanning my environment for this information. So when it popped up, boom, I saw it, I acted on it, and I went in the group, I reached out, I booked podcasts, and it was this amazing experience. But it would have never happened if I hadn't set the intention in the first place. So it's, I mean, there is some magic in it because, I mean, that group popped up for me. But at the same time, we have to be ready and train our brains to be ready to notice when opportunities come in front of us. And we can do that in a lot of fun ways.
That's so interesting. Just a side note for that part, would you describe intention as focus as well?
Yes, yes, for sure. And actually, that's one of my favorite definitions of the law of attraction. What we focus on expands. And this definition basically says that there's another saying, where our attention goes,
energy flows.
Right?
That's my favorite one.
Yeah, I love that one too. So it's all the same. It's all connected. It's all related. Your focus, your intention, your attention, whatever you want to call it, it's about using our free will to choose where to hone in our energy. And what that does is it allows us to interact with the world in a way that will create a reality that feels really good for us.
Mm-hmm. That's so, because sign up for that part is I work with a lot of kids with special needs, autism, and all that spectrum and whatnot. And so when you mentioned that there's so many different things happening all at once, literally that's what it is like for them, sensory processing disorder, whatever you want to call it. And literally they're feeling everything because they don't have that ability to focus or practicality to focus. And so, yeah, that is just kind of a side note on there for the ones that are listening as well. As a lot of times when you have a kiddo who can't focus, they're feeling everything. They literally are feeling everything that they put their focus on, right? Either their clothes are not buttoning a certain way, or they're feeling a certain way, you know, whatever it is, the shifting of the air, whatever it is, right? And so, side note there. Okay. Back to where we're talking about.
Yeah. And
thank you. No, that's a great point.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that in my personal opinion and from what I know about the brain, autism and the autistic spectrum disorder, I believe it's a form of genius, actually.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, for sure. Because genius, and some say Albert Einstein, actually used more of his brain than that 10% consciously, intentionally. Now, there's no proof for this. It's a hypothesis. But when we use more of our brain to that conscious level, we therefore filter out less. It is more overwhelming because of the way the world is set up, especially in today's fast-paced society. And so anyone who uses their brain in that way can become easily overwhelmed. But if we can help them learn how to utilize that massive power, wonderful things can happen.
And I love that, Kate, you brought up the word focus for it. And I wasn't even thinking about that quote, where our attention goes, energy flows. But that is like, for me, that has been like my lesson in manifestation. It's made me very mindful of what is it that I'm focusing on. And that's why this is a good leeway for techniques, because me personally, I love the technique of gratitude, because it instantly changes my focus from focusing on the stuff that's real crappy and bothering me. And like, yes, I have every reason to be upset about it, but is that what I want more of in my life? And that's what I start asking myself, well, what is it that I want more of in my life? What are the things I'm grateful for? And then when I start, it's like, I can't stop. And I feel the energy shift, and I feel myself going from this low vibe to this high vibe. And then all of a sudden, things just feel like they're working out where I didn't quite have to put too much effort into it. And just listening to your example of the podcast episode, the podcast group coming up, it's funny because I think there's still part of me that's still fascinated by just how it works. So to me, it is just magic, because it's like all I have to do is focus on something and boom, there it is. But you're absolutely right. I prime myself to be in a position to receive all that's good. I prime myself to be in this position to, like, I've healed myself from depression using these methods, you know, but I didn't just say, okay, I am manifesting being healed of depression. I said I was manifesting it, and then I did the work, you know, but I had to prime myself to be there. And I also kind of want to speak to with the focus, and then I'll let this go because this is like a personal experience. I worked at a mental health nonprofit, and something that I think if you've listened to our episodes, you've probably heard me say this. One of the things that bothered me there was that when I would write blog posts, I would try to be very encouraging about, you have the power to work on this illness, you know, that people are telling you have, just by choosing to no longer align to it. And, you know, that's a simple way of putting it. Of course, I wouldn't say that in the blog post, because these are people who are really going through stuff. But what frustrated me about it was I needed to be able to hear that. Like, as a person who was struggling with depression, I needed to be able to hear that, Tierra, if you don't want to be depressed anymore, choose that that's your reality and walk in that kind of thing. And it frustrated me that we took that power away from this big group of people who, if they would have just known, you know, hold their intention to be healed. And it may not happen overnight, but it's possible. Then how many people could we have helped with their depression, their anxiety, maybe even just as simple as maybe not taking the medications they didn't enjoy taking anymore, kind of thing. So yes, sorry to make that side note, but techniques and gratitude being, that's how I've learned to use gratitude.
That's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing your story. And yes, I definitely have heard you speak of that. And it's so inspiring to hear, because your story gives others hope and it helps us know that it's possible. And honestly, that's half the battle, is just to believe that it's possible. Believe that it can be true for us. We can create a life that we love. We don't have to be stuck. We are one decision away from a completely different life. One decision. And oftentimes it's just about taking that step. Now, I have a lot to say in response to everything you just mentioned. So just rewinding back to the gratitude. Gratitude is one of my ultimate favorite practices. It is so important because, like you said, Tiara, it shifts us from thinking about the negative and brings us back to everything that is good, because there is a lot of good. And when we focus on the good, we attract more good. But what I am seeing actually in today's world, as this practice of gratitude is becoming more mainstream and popular, the message is getting a little bit diluted, and it's getting to the point where it's almost toxic. It's toxic gratitude, where, and this is actually why I don't, I'm going to say something a little controversial. I don't personally agree with the message from The Secret. If you've ever read the book The Secret or watched the film, The Secret is about the law of attraction. It says you have to focus on the positive, so you bring in more positive, push away those negative thoughts. Now, this is half true. When we focus on the positive, we bring in more positive. But at the same time, we need to honor and respect those aspects of us that are feeling crappy one day, that are feeling down, that are feeling negative. And those parts are just as beautiful. So if we're practicing gratitude, it should never be to get away from those negative aspects within ourselves. Instead, it should be to give our overall holistic self a different perspective to just add into the bucket. Instead of only negative thoughts, now we have negative and we have positive, and it's this beautiful mix. And that is one of the keys. And I couldn't believe this story. I'm going to share it with you really quickly. I heard about this law of attraction conference, and at the conference, there was this huge auditorium of people, and they were all there, thousands of people. And during one of the breaks, everyone stood up to go get coffee and all this stuff. And one lady fell. And when she fell, every single person backed away. Nobody wanted to help her because they did not want to be an energetic match, quote unquote, to that experience. Isn't that so depressing? Oh, no. Isn't that so disheartening?
Oh my gosh.
This is the danger with the current, like I was saying, ideas that exist right now. It is not about having 100% positive focus. You can have negative thoughts and you can still attract and create a beautiful life. And actually, you should. If you only have positive thoughts, I'm scared for you. That's not healthy and that's not normal. We have to have a whole range of emotions and honor and respect all of them.
I kind of want to talk about even that a little bit. So even going back to the block part of it, how like we can block these connections. And just from things I've heard and personal experience, I feel that when we do live in the high vibe only, like that's something my business coach talked, like there's no such thing as high vibe only, like you can't live like that, because then what it's doing is, when you're ignoring the negative, you're still ignoring a part of you, you know. And like, I'm sorry, my children just knocked. What? I'm pretty sure it's not an emergency by the knock, but okay, you could, oh, let me check on them. I'm sorry, y'all.
No, that's okay, go for it. This mother life, I love it. So Yeah, in terms of the techniques as well, I'm happy to share some of those if you're interested, Dr. Kate.
Yeah, of course.
So one of the ones I was thinking of to connect with our intuition and therefore our intention going back to that was inspired by the episode you had on energetic space clearing. I loved that episode. And in it, you mentioned that you had a pendulum, right?
Yes.
Yes. So with a pendulum, we can use that to connect to our intuition really easily. So the pendulum is a very powerful tool because, so there's different explanations. One explanation is the pendulum is connected to our higher selves. And that concept is that we are not a soul in a body, we are a soul with a body. And there are many levels to our soul, many dimensions, and the higher dimension of our higher self already knows what we should be doing in order to attract the life that we want. So if we ask ourselves through this pendulum, we are able to connect to our higher selves. But in the brain, actually, we can also explain this. The brain has a part that, like I mentioned, called the unconscious mind. And research has shown that when people are in a brain scanning machine and they're asked to press a button, okay, so they're asked to think about randomly pressing the button. And whenever they choose to press the button, the second or even the moment, the exact instant they have the thought, they should press the button. So you'd think that the brain has that information, they've made the decision, and then they press the button. But research shows that we have actually already made the decision 10 seconds before we even know we made the decision. So our brain is ahead of us. And what we can do with the pendulum is we can ask it questions, yes or no questions, and it will allow us to connect to that part of the brain that, like I mentioned, is 90%. So there's a lot of really valuable information back there, mm-hmm. in there, and that can be really fruitful when we're trying to figure out, you know, is this right for me? What should I do next? What action should I take? And if anyone is interested, I have a YouTube video showing you how to use a crystal pendulum or this kind of questioning and connection with your intuition on my YouTube channel.
That is perfect, because that was what I was wondering during the episode. I was like, I wonder which one's yes and no. I just really wanted to find out, because I'm sure everyone's different depending on what energy from what you're describing, right?
Yes, exactly. Have you ever tried your crystal pendulum that you said you had?
I looked at it, I tried it on different parts of my body, but I haven't actually, you know, dived a little deep, but I'll definitely go into your YouTube video to go see which part and how to use it and whatnot, so.
Wonderful, I can't wait for you to try that. And for anyone listening, you can definitely try it just with anything you have at home. You don't have to order or buy a crystal pendulum. You can even use what I like to do sometimes is a necklace that has a pendant, and then you just unclasp it and then you let the pendant hang at the bottom. And in my culture, actually in Kurdistan, we have this old wives' tale where if you hold a thread and a needle at the end hanging, you hold it over pregnant belly, and if it spins in certain directions, it's a boy or a girl. Have you ever heard that one?
No, but I'll definitely, if you can make a video about that one as well, or just like link it somewhere, I would love to like just put that out in the
share mat. That
a lot of times people don't want ultrasounds, right? Because there's certain things, you know, that's not, that can be harmful, that people don't know, that people don't tell them about, and so they kind of still want to know. And I'm back in your mind, you still kind of want to know. So that'd be great.
I don't know of any research that has shown the accuracy of this gender prediction thread and needle technique, but it's something my culture has been doing for hundreds of years, actually. And I actually talk about it in the same pendulum video on my YouTube channel. So I will definitely share that with you and link it so you can link it with this episode as well.
Perfect.
Thank you. So Tiara's back with her little one. What a sweet little one.
Oh yeah. They had an accident cleaning applesauce. And so the best comfort was mommy.
Of course. So you were saying before you headed out.
Yes. Thank you. I'm so sorry about that. I was saying how from things I read in my experience, you know, this ignoring the negative part isn't healthy, more so because you're kind of denying a part of yourself. And so I kind of wanted to, with you, talk, I don't know, strategies is the word, I guess strategies is the right word, around how to, because I feel like there is a thin line between doing this a very healthy way and then this being like a not so healthy thing, because you can end up in that cycle where you're just repeating the same trauma, the same bad story. So what are some good ways that you can still honor the negative part, but in a way that will be beneficial to you and not just furthering, like beating yourself up kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you, baby.
This is such an important practice, and I'm so glad you brought this up, because like I've been saying, I think this is one of the biggest things missing from the law of attraction manifestation information that is out there, that is focused on, you know, you need to think about the good to attract the good. So the best way to honor all aspects of ourselves is just to learn to listen in to how we're feeling and just give it an identity. And research shows that actually, when we are able to label our emotions, we significantly enhance or increase our EQ, our emotional intelligence quotient. It's kind of a version of IQ, but for emotion. So simply naming how we're feeling, that's a wonderful place to start. And you don't have to do anything else with it. Just recognize, identify, and name how we feel. Because what we're doing is we are giving presence to that aspect of ourselves. And we are shining the light of our consciousness on that aspect of ourselves. And sometimes that's all it needs. It just needs to be seen, that part of us. So if it's a part that's feeling sad, we just recognize it and say, I'm feeling sad right now. Or if it's a part that feels angry, I'm feeling angry right now. Just name it. And this is why in so many of my teachings, and especially on my YouTube channel, I provide exercises that go along with the videos. And oftentimes I will share a list of 50 to 100 emotion words. And what we do together in the exercise is we go through the words and we identify 10 that we're feeling, and we narrow it down to 3, and we narrow it down to the 1. And this greatly enhances our ability to just recognize everything that's going on within us, giving ourselves that presence. And then what that does is that instantly frees us and allows us to focus on the good with holding that part of us with us still, and not abandoning ourselves in order to force ourselves into something that we think we should be doing.
Love that. You want to know why I love that so much?
Why is that?
Because especially with the heart of this podcast, that is how we would treat our child. And I think something that we did somewhere in adolescence, we feel like we just can't be treated like children anymore. Like, oh my gosh, that's the worst thing you can do to me. Don't treat me like a child. But really, that's one of the best things, because Kate and I often talk about how much we'll cater to our children and not give ourselves that. And if your I muted the podcast and jumped up and walked away because my baby was crying. You know, what's wrong with my daughter? And when she's sad, I'll sit with her and tell mommy what's wrong. You know, can you tell mommy what's wrong? Can you tell mommy why it hurts? Can you tell mommy what's going on? Because I need her to tell me so that I can help. I can't help if I don't know what's going on. And it's the same way with us. If we're going to shut those negative emotions down, how are we ever and even be able to help ourselves, but even ask for help? You know, if we don't even give ourselves the space to acknowledge, I'm hurting right now and I just need somebody to give me a bit of attention. Yes, go get yourself a cheese.
So true. And I'm getting emotional just listening to you, because that's exactly what the world needs more of. And what I've just been talking about, what we've been talking about, is all actually inner child work. I don't label it as that because a lot of us are hesitant to approach healing from that perspective, because it's just so foreign sometimes to think about it. But that's what it is. We have parts of us within us that have been abandoned for different reasons. And it's about reconnecting, becoming whole again, and giving that attention, that love, that presence to all aspects within ourselves. Like you said, just like it's a child within us, because it is. That psychologically, there are aspects within our mind that get stuck at certain ages. And it's a child that lives inside of there. And it deserves the love and attention that we give our own external children as much as we should to our own internal child, or children as well. There's many in there oftentimes.
We may have to have you back for like an episode on inner child work.
Oh, I would love that. It would be an absolute pleasure to come back and chat about that. But it's so interesting how this can apply in so many ways. I just created a video on my YouTube channel all about how I manifested a 30-pound weight loss. I was 185 pounds. I went down to 155 pounds with no diet, no exercise. I mean, I do those things because I like them, but that's not the reason I lost the weight. And I know because I wasn't consistent with them over the period I lost the weight. I lost the weight simply with the intention of doing so. And one of the key things I did, which I teach in that video, is I named my body a different name than myself. I'm Naza, and my body, I named her Khaleesi. Have you ever seen Game of Thrones?
Yes, I just got really excited about that.
So I loved the character of Khaleesi. Well, she kind of ended weird. I won't give anything away if you haven't seen the series, but Khaleesi is the idea of the name is this powerful independent queen. And so I named my body that. And I talk to my body all the time. And I have a conversation. I'm like, okay, Khaleesi, what do you feel like eating right now? Okay, Khaleesi, what do you want me to do right now? Okay, Khaleesi, how do you want to move right now? And this conversation has externalized my body because we're so much nicer and take so much better care of everyone else and not ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we do that, when we make it a separate entity, we realize it's our responsibility to care for this body as if it was a child of ours. And we can start to do that and it creates really quick change.
I love that.
Smart. That is such like the smartest thing ever.
Thank you. Well, I encourage you both to name your bodies then if you're interested.
Yeah, I gotta think of a name now. So.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely gonna have to practice that one. I like that one. But I even like it in the terms of just the emotional, mental. Even if I wasn't trying, I am trying to lose some weight. So I'm definitely gonna try that. But even if I wasn't trying to lose weight, I can already feel how, you know, because then I think also as a society and women, we kind of tell ourselves, don't make such a big deal out of it. You know, like, it's fine. You're being a baby right now. Leave it alone. But really, I wouldn't do that to Kate. I think me and Kate have had plenty of times where we've kind of had to check each other. Like, look, you wouldn't turn around and say that to me. Why would you say that to yourself?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. You know? 100%, especially as women, you're so right. We are trained that it is beautiful and it is feminine to be humble and to, you know, not brag and not talk about ourselves in a positive way. And if we do, then that's something to be frowned upon. And that's something that needs to change. We should be screaming from the rooftops how amazing we are, because we are, you are, every single person here right now is so special and beautiful and unique. And if you look at the evolutionary side of things and how statistically unlikely it is for every single connection that had to be created for the last millions of years for you to be here right now in this moment, it is absolutely mind-blowing. So your presence is a gift to the world, and that is something that should be celebrated.
To add on to what you just like extending to what you mentioned, humble, because someone mentioned how some reason in our society, when we humble ourselves, it's almost like a positive word behind it. But if you really look up the definition, it literally means low in rank, low in quality. And it's like, why would you put yourself lower than someone else? And so it's like a word that's negative, yet you put a positive spin to it. So now everyone doesn't think it's a good thing. It's a prideful thing. But in reality, it's not the best to treat yourself, right?
Wow, I've never heard of that definition of humble. That makes perfect sense because that's the energy behind that word. So it makes a lot of sense that that's what it means. And that's exactly what happens when we become trained to act in that way.
You know, a lot of women, a lot of people in general think it's like a better way, a nicer way to humble ourselves, not to brag, not to do certain things. And then you have a bragging word that's has a negative connotation to it, but in reality you're just being yourself, right? What's wrong with being
right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, when I first started my business, Vibrant Mind, the first 6 months, I didn't use the term doctor. I didn't put it in anything, on my website, on my YouTube, in anything. And I thought, okay, I'm just being humble. I'm not bragging. But then I realized, you know what? I worked really hard for 10 years to earn a doctoral degree. And I am very proud of the work I've done. And I'm very proud of what I've specialized in. And I want to share that. And so now I've put it everywhere. And just that simple shift in my mind has created so much more abundance for me, because I am now showing up to everything I do with my authentic self. I'm not pushing down or hiding parts of myself out of fear anymore. And that has been a huge, huge game changer.
That's so interesting, because I felt the same way. Not like showing that part, but feeling the impact of it. Because I think, oh, it's just a thing that I put. Because sometimes when you're little, you say, I want to do this, I want to do that. And when you've done it, you're like, okay, what's next? You kind of put on the next thing, right? And so it's like almost like I've done it. So like, what's next? So I never thought of the impact of what doctor would mean for people, if it means anything. But I mean, it is, like you said, it's what we did. It's part of us. Just show us as part of you. And that's it. That's leave it as is. And then just continue on helping people as you are. And so that's just so interesting how we do that.
Yeah, it really is. And I hope that we can all just start to take baby steps towards just stepping into our authentic selves, loving ourselves, loving all parts of ourselves, the positive and the not so positive, and just continuously choosing the power of our intention and focus and using that as our guide to, you know, make the steps forward that we want to.
I love it. Thank you. I really just want to say thank you for coming on and sharing all of this. Even listening to you guys talk about the doctor part of it, I've only been studying this for what, maybe the last year, maybe 2 years or so. And it feels weird to try to talk to people about it, because I don't have a doctor title behind it. Like, most people know I dropped out of college and, you know, I'm just a photographer. But these things, and you keep using my brand words, authentic self, self-love. Like, that's what my brand is all about. And so just thank you so much for just giving all this information away. And I'm really excited to dig into your YouTube channel and tell everybody about that. Because what I also love about how you approach manifestation is you haven't come out and said it, but I can tell from the way you talk about it, it's a you go first kind of approach. If you want to be able to manifest all these things first, pay attention to you. What is it that you really want? Like, yeah, you want money, but why do you want money? Yeah, you want to lose the weight, but why do you want to lose the weight? Why do you want to be a mother? You know, what are the real driving force? Because I feel like it goes back to how we were just saying, we humble ourselves. So we're not even bold enough to say why we want things we want so badly. Because I'll say it with a quickness. I wanted to be a mom because my mom wasn't in a position where she could give me that motherly experience. I'm sure she wanted to give me. And so I wanted to have kids so I could do that for them, just because I just wanted to be able to feel what it feels like to love on my kids without all these other things having to stop me, you know? And that was just what I wanted. And when it comes down to it, there are plenty of times where I get frustrated. End up starting my business so I could be home with my kids. There are times where I'm like, why the hell did I decide to have a business? Oops. Oh.
I think she just got clicked off. But that's okay. I hope she hears this at the end, because I did want to say something too. Is it's so interesting, because even after we finished our conversation, you and I, Dr. Kate, and then Sarah started speaking about how, you know, I don't have that doctoral degree, so I'm hesitant about sharing my message and this in this way. But it's so important to remember that each of us has something so special. And so Tiara's gift is that she's a portrait photographer. That is so amazing. She captures a person's soul essence in a moment in time in a picture that lasts a lifetime. I mean, I get goosebumps just thinking of how special that is. So each of us have unique talents to celebrate, and each of us have the beautiful ability to share that with the world. And I hope that that's what we all do moving forward.
That's awesome. If Tiara caught that as she was logging back in, she literally said your name, your company.
She's, oh, you did this? You said Soul Signature?
Yeah, so that's what she named herself. So
no good. Way.
Yes! Oh, Soul Signature Studios. Oh my gosh!
Look at her go. Yeah,
just to finish up, because I feel like that is the point I wanted to make with that is when I come, just the mere, as selfish as it may sound, I just want to be a mom because I want to spoil my kids with love. And whenever things get hard and I'm like, why the hell did I start a business? Why am I putting myself through this? Because it gives me the position to be, I want to be in with my kids. I want to be able to be on this call. And she keeps hugging my neck. And I'm like, kid, can you get off of me and let me work? I can't do that at a corporate job.
Ever. I'm just melting.
Yeah. It's just and like, there's no way I can get angry about it because this is what I asked for. And it's so beautiful. It's here. It's what I wanted.
So, magical. It's
magical. Well, that's the magical kisses.
I hope you will re-listen to that last part that you missed a little bit of, Tiara, because it's in such alignment. I didn't know that your business was called that. And that's exactly what I was mentioning. That's really beautiful and magical.
Thank you so much, Naza, Dr. Naza, for coming on. So how would we find you? How would our listeners find you? And we'll definitely link everything that you put in regards to Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and all that too.
Thank you. Yes, please come find me on YouTube. My YouTube channel is Dr. Naza Nalani, and it will be linked as well. Please subscribe. And if you watch any of the videos, give it a like and leave a comment. It really supports my channel. And I love to interact with everyone and answer questions people have inside of the comments. I answer all of them personally. And I also have an Instagram if you'd like to come follow that. And for anyone who wants a little bit more deeper support on their journey, I have a program called Intentional Dreamers, where we go through everything we talked about today, but we really go in deep into each of the subjects. And I teach a lot of very practical tools and techniques that we can implement to create that really strong connection with ourselves, our intuition, the universe, our brains. And, you know, I also teach things like how to beat procrastination, things like that, that block us often. And it's just such a wonderful time to be together with the members of my program. So that will be linked as well. And I just want to give a big, huge thank you to both of you, Kate and Tiara, for having me here. It's been such an absolute joy. And like I said earlier, what you're doing, your mission is changing the world. You are giving people hope. You are inspiring women, not just women, everybody, to believe that the life that they want is there, it's possible, it's ready and waiting for them, and they just need to take the steps to get there. And I just want to say thank you for being a bright light in this world. We need you right now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tear in the eye.
Isn't Dr. Naza just a breath of fresh air? There's so many easy, practical tools that she listed out, and you can find those in this episode's show notes. One thread that resonated deeply in our conversation is that we are indeed whole. Whether you just realized it recently, or you're in your practice of it to continue this growth, the best part is the science is never settled. Thank you for joining us in our growing Holistic Hope Village. To decide and be the ripple effect to your own story so we continue to create a better humanity for generations to come.